Have you ever heard the phrase, there's no room at the inn? You ever felt like part of your whole existence is the struggle to find a place? Trusting, does God really have us? Are we really His? Is He going to do what He says He's going to do? It's a fundamental part of human searching for and finding of what it means to be human, to search and find your place in this world. And yet, so many of us struggle long term with that. I'm not talking about being happy with the place you find. What I'm talking about is finding a place that feels like you fit. So here's the verse that we've got this morning. Let me read it. This is John 14, 1 through 21 from the New Living. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this weren't so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me and where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who the Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip interjected, Lord, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyway, who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I'm the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father's, who lives in me and does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the works you've seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going with the Father. So you can ask for everything, anything, in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask for me anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and will be later in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me since I live. You will also see me. You will also live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. It's right there in the text. Let's first off acknowledge that the struggle is real. They're really concerned. The apostles are really concerned that if he leaves them, they're not going to know how to do what they're doing and all this stuff. Let's acknowledge that this struggle is real. First off, that there are times where it feels like, or there is literally no room at the inn. The inn crowd doesn't really want me around. But in 1 Peter 2, it talks about this too. This is what it's talking about when it says, once you were not a people, but now you are a people, a royal people, an accepted people, God's chosen vessel, you're chosen and all this. So even though the struggle of feeling left out is real in Christ, we are not left as orphans. There is room in the Father's house. It's so much different than how it feels in the world of human stuff, where there's no room at the inn or only certain people get in. The occupancy rating won't allow us to do this. But here we are in God's kingdom. Once you were not a people, and now you are God's people. Once there was no room at the inn, now you trust in God. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. Let's say, so first, let's acknowledge the struggle is real, but that is the difference between the living and knowing God and trying to do this on your own. Second, we need to know that we often ask how questions when God says who questions. Let me give you an example. Verse 5, Lord, we don't know. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? So Jesus says, I am the way. So Thomas is looking for a roadmap, when that's what Jesus has come to earth to do, is become the roadmap of how to be. So later on it says, you'll even do the works that I do. Well, what was the main work that Jesus did? No, there's some miracles on the side, but the main work that Jesus did was he came and lived as God amongst us for the love of us. And because of that, the preparation of places in God's house, which I believe significantly is the cross. The cross prepares a place for us. It makes the way possible for us. It opens the route. It does all those things. It makes all that happen. But you'll do these works too, is we ask for, well, what does God want me to do? And God often says, I want you to follow me and be the way that I am with my people. And when you see that, when you love me, when you've been in me, then I'm in you and you're in me and I don't leave you alone, but we change. And so we speak this different language. So first, there's this real struggle of feeling at home on earth when 1 Peter 2 literally says that this earth is not really your home. And the reason you don't feel at home here is because it's not your home. There really is no room at the inn here. The room is in the Father's house. Second, we need to know that in us, that our desire, our pre-Christian desire, our human desire actually speaks and wants really strong clarity and all this stuff out of, well, first I want you to take a left here and take 6 steps over that way. When the way he wants us to do it, if we just knew that it was 6 steps to the left and then 5 steps to the right and then 35 steps forward, we just clunk through our life going thump, 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 and we just ignore everybody and take the steps. But when God does this, he says, I want you to go over here, and when you're over here, I want you to be the way I've been among you. And so it isn't so much about how many steps you've taken, but how you were while you were doing the steps. And so we need to learn and let God work and lead us into this truth and follow this example. So first off, we acknowledge the struggle is real. And second, we need to know that we speak a different language. And man, is that the truth? We speak a different language. And we need to do so carefully. When we're talking to people that don't speak the language, or that are not Christians and do this, we cannot slip into Christianese with them because they're not looking for that. They can't accept it because they don't look for it. It even says that in this verse here. They can't see it because they're not looking for it. That's next week. We'll talk about, well, no, it says this. Soon the world will, let me, verse 20. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. This is verse 19. Since I live, you will also live. when I was raised to life again, you will know that I and the Father am one, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments, obey them, are the ones who love me. Because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will reveal myself to them. Later on in the verse, this next week, we'll talk about how we open ourselves up. But first, we have to acknowledge the struggle. So third, how do we trust? I want to say that it is so often billed as blind trust. It is billed as blind trust that we have in God. Like we're doing it in a vacuum and we have no evidence and we have no memory of anything that's going on. But you just have to love him and trust him. And I'm going to say right now, this is what Jesus says to him. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Look, what he's saying is, you're looking for the Father. I got to give you this quote. It literally is from St. Augustine in the 3rd or 4th century. It literally says, if you have an idea, if you understand God, what you understand is not God. In other words, I finally got a grasp on the Trinity. I know I haven't said this in a while, but I felt like I really understood the Trinity. And then I went off to seminary and I read 10,000 pages on the Trinity. And now I know I don't fully understand how God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus interact. But what I do is I really trust and I understand that they are doing it. But I don't know how they do it. And I'm okay with that because it's not the way that I would do it. And I have to accept that. We don't know the Father. Have I been with you for this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Look, how do we trust him? It's not blind faith. He's been with us all this time, doing all these things in the background and doing it. It's not the mighty works that inspire faith and trust and all that stuff. It's the everyday little tiny things. It's like in our relationships. You think that somebody shows you love because they brought you flowers, but they showed you love because they listened to you and they answered the phone when you called and they did all this stuff. They interrupted their schedule when you called, and they called you when it was an interruption. They let you know what's going on. It's those little niceties. It's not the big flashy things that prove love. It's the little details. Those flashy things they're like icing on the cake. The real work of love is the little things of being available, of caring, of listening and talking and being faithful with and trustworthy with, and maybe even disagreeing and calling somebody out. That's the real work of love. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. This is the work. We think of the work as, well, he turned water into wine. That's the flashy, that's the flowers on Valentine's Day. But the real work of love is stuff you do on Saturday morning when you don't want to get out of bed. The mowing of the lawn, the cleaning of the house, the doing dishes. Those are the real works of selfless love. So we got to acknowledge that, first off, that the struggle to feel at home is real. That second, we need to know that we often ask for the wrong sort of things. We're looking for the flashy stuff. And then we need to know that it's all this stuff that's the background of our faith that creates trust. Or as Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says, trust or faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or as the message says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them apart from the crowd. It set them apart from the in crowd. It gave them room in the Father's house. So here's the words from this very text, and I need you to hear this, church. Jesus says, I go to the Father's house to make a place for you. I will not abandon you as orphans. Now you trust, but then you'll know. And so right now, church, I want you to hear this, that the way that he makes a place for us was required him to leave them because he had to go to the cross, and he had to do that on his own. He had to do that without the rest of us because we couldn't do it. And so he had to leave us for a little bit, but that then required that the advocate could come and all these things and all the way was done. But it didn't abandon us as orphans, even though it felt like it to them and to us sporadically. We feel abandoned as orphans. It doesn't make us orphans, just makes us feel that way because the world constantly tells us there's no room at the inn. We don't want you here. God says, there's plenty of room in my house. Once you weren't a people, now you are a people. Once you were the least of all of these people, now you are my chosen royal priesthood. Look, the language just follows this throughout the whole Bible. The second most important theme of the Bible is that God is creating a people for himself, and that we trust, and then we begin to know that we're his people. We begin to trust him in the now, and that is the fundamental fact, a firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on the future is the trustworthiness of God today. Will you pray with me, church? Lord Jesus, this morning, I ask specifically that you would help every single person know here that Jesus loves them and that he's got them and they're his, that Jesus loves them and God's got their back, that they're the little things of love, the work of God in our lives, make it so that we're not blindly following something we don't understand. We just need to look in the right places. Help us open our eyes, Lord. Be the light and the lamp to our path, the light to our feet. Be the one who shows us. Help us not trouble our own hearts by looking to the wrong places, but to trust in you. In your precious name, amen.